news that matters most.
My news team, thank God.
You need the front page.
If y'all gonna get down, then Wesley Jackson and the MTV News crew went in.
What's MTV?
On the press box.
What about the French-speaking Quebec news? The real voice of Canada.
Give it a rest, eh?
Give me a break. They can't have news. Nothing happens in Canada.
With Graney and Bischoff.
Baltimore rolled Buffalo 35-10 last night. Derrick Henry, 24 carries for 199 yards. He looked like Ashton Jeanty out there. He had an 87-yard touchdown on Baltimore's first offensive play of the game. Lamar Jackson only had to throw it 18 times. He threw for 156, also ran for another 56, and had three total touchdowns. How did Baltimore lose to the Raiders?
Because they couldn't stop Gardner Minshew in the fourth quarter. He was terrific. It was Gardner Minshew, the good Gardner Minshew. That's why.
That is probably going to be one of the most confusing results of the entire season.
Well, especially if the Ravens keep playing like this and it proved to be the best team.
Right. Like, the efficiency metrics, like DVOA and EPA, Baltimore is one of the top three teams in the league.
Yeah.
Like, they're 2-2, but they're clearly one of the best teams, and somehow they blew a two-score lead to the Raiders in the fourth quarter. Like, what? The Browns' defense yesterday didn't give up but 40 yards to the Raiders' offense in the fourth quarter yesterday. And the Ravens like, yeah, whatever. Just like Gardner Minshew throw through us. But Baltimore appears to be very, very good.
NFL's crazy. Buffalo was by far the best team coming in. And in one play.
They had put up, what, 34 every game? Yeah, 34 plus every game?
In one play, they give it up.
87 yards. Did you know Derrick Henry was still that fast?
No, I didn't.
He ran away from corners and safeties on that touchdown run. Lamar Jackson, even after the game, was asked. He's like, I didn't know he was that fast. Still don't know how fast
still
he is.
Still has it.
But yeah, so Derrick Henry is one of the exceptions to the running back rule. The idea that running backs age out very quickly, the idea that you shouldn't pay running backs money because they get hurt all the time. Henry is one of the guys that's sort of proving to be, all right, he's different from the majority of this. He's different from the rule of how you should normally treat running backs because the guy is insane.
Yeah.
And I say that and, you know, probably get hurt in week 7 and it's like, oh yeah, it's a running back, of course. But he's been different. Him and McCaffrey, for the most part, have been different in terms
than most
of
running backs.
They bring you value that the average running back
does
would not bring you,
right?
Which is not the case for the majority of running backs in the NFL.
What was the question again? I'm sorry, I just got off the field.
Alabama beat Georgia 41-34. Alabama led that game 28-0. Georgia still managed to come back and take the lead 34-33 with 2:31 to play. And then Alabama got a 75-yard touchdown from 17-year-old wide receiver Ryan Williams to take the lead. Carson Beck was picked off in the end zone to end
that
the game.
That was a really cool game to watch.
Yes.
That was fun to watch.
The catch by Ryan Williams was good. The ability to then run away from two defenders while making them crash into each other like
amazing.
It was a cartoon.
Yes.
Is hilarious. And ultimately was the game-winning touchdown. But Alabama and Georgia, the funny thing is, clearly two of the top five teams in the country.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
and Georgia fell to 5.
And that's kind of ridiculous.
I thought so, too.
I saw some of the AP individual like members, what their votes were. I think Brett McMurphy was the only one that had Georgia in the top 3, and he had them 2. He put Alabama 1.
He just switched them.
He had Alabama 1, Georgia 2, which...
Texas 3?
Yeah, Texas and Ohio State exist. But if you watched that game and thought Alabama's the best team in the country, Georgia lost by 1 score, got picked off in the end zone in Alabama.
Right.
They kind of have to be the number 2 team in the country.
Yes.
Like, if you think Alabama's the best, Georgia's literally just as good as them. They lost.
I want to see him play again.
Right.
They I want to see him play 3 times.
That is the interesting thing is I don't know if they play in the college football, or excuse me, in the SEC title game because Texas exists and not everybody plays everybody.
Right.
So there's a decent, I think Georgia and Alabama play the harder schedules than Texas. So there's a chance Texas doesn't let them play in the national championship game. Like there is, and we'll see who loses and everything, but there is a legitimate chance that like, the number 3 team in the country doesn't even play for their own conference title game because Alabama, Georgia, and Texas are all top 5.
Right.
And, yeah, Texas is playing Georgia, and Alabama's like the 3rd best team in the country. but they're not in their own.
And they get the 3 seed in the playoff?
No, they wouldn't, because you have to be your conference champ.
Oh, you have to be conference champ, so they could get 5.
Right. They're
UNLV at Texas.
Legit, yes. Like, the group of 5 team that gets the 12 seed is screwed.
Because of the 3 in the SEC.
You are going to be playing the second or third best team in the country, and they're going to be the 5 seed because of how this is set up. Like, whoever wins the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, they'll be the 1 or the 2 seed, and then probably Oregon, Ohio State, the winner of the Big Ten, will be one of those two, would get the 2 seed. They'll be the 1 and the 2. The 5 seed will be Texas or Alabama or Georgia.
Or maybe Georgia.
Right. Like, that's brutal, and that's who...
The group of 12 is
UNLV or Boise State or whoever it is
gonna have
is going
to
go
play on the road.
And it's going to make the group of 5 look even worse, because, like, UNLV is going to have this great season. They're going to be 13-0, and then it's like, Alabama beat us by 55. Like, what were we supposed to do? Like, Alabama's beating everybody by 55 except for the top 3 or 4 teams in the country.
All good?
Silence.
Texas State has a verbal offer to join the Mountain West.
It's like signing a letter of intent.
According to Chris Vanini. No, it's not even that. It's just a verbal offer. It's like what Matthew Sluka claims he got. That's what this is a verbal offer.
Well, is Gloria Navarro's out there making offers?
I don't know. Who's making the verbal offers? I know we've talked about this. Apparently the Pac-12 is interested in Texas State too. Texas State,
they're just trying to close up ranks and try to get to be a conference.
But why? Texas State, 13 years as an FBS program. They have 2 winning seasons. They're close. They're not in, but they're close to San Antonio and Austin. But nobody in those cities care about Texas State. I don't understand why it's like, that's our number one ad. We got to have Texas State. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're like at the top of the list for the Pac-12 and the Mountain West.
Who would you rather have, them or UTEP and New Mexico State?
I guess Texas State, just because they're in Texas.
Right.
But if I'm the Mountain West and they've got all this damn money the Pac-12 might be paying me, I think I'm calling Memphis first. Saying, hey, you didn't like the Pac-12's offer. Here's our offer. Right. Is that better?
Right.
I'm doing that before I'm giving a verbal offer to Texas State. Yeah.
Are there mountains in Memphis?
Oh, yeah. Ed, you left early. One of the Ryans on the text line asked us if there were mountains in Ohio. Because the Toledo and...
Northern Illinois.
Yeah, and we've decided that they either have to change the name of the conference from Mountain West, or...
You can't go places without mountains.
Yeah, they have to add places with mountains. So Ohio out.
Tennessee has mountains, just not near Memphis.
Not even anywhere close to Memphis. No. But it is in the state. It's a very horizontal state, so I think they get the south end of the Appalachian Mountains. So yeah. Memphis, I think, is okay. Until it gets annexed by Mississippi or Arkansas, and then they're out. Cut them out of this conference. Meanwhile, this is a tweet from Mike Craven, who said, I can confirm the report that Texas State's Ben Bell is contemplating a redshirt. He's played in 3 games and could play in 1 more before the decision becomes firm. Ben Bell is a defensive end for Texas State, who has 3.5 sacks in 3 games. I haven't seen a reason given for this, but it appears as though Ben Bell, I don't even know how many years of eligibility he has left, but apparently it could be, hey, I'm pretty good. I want to transfer to a power conference school, so I've got 1 year left. Let's go in the portal after 3 games and go play in the SEC next year.
He's not the first, and he won't be the last.
No. It's a very weird deadline that has been based de facto set up.
Top 4 game or first 4 games.
Right. That transfer after the 4th game and you can retain your eligibility.
Right.
And it's a weird deadline set up where we're probably going to see a handful of kids do that every year.
Yeah.
Some of them,
there's no question.
They're not going to be Matthew Sluka type scenarios all the time where he's saying, "Where's my NIL money?" It might just be, "Hey,
I want to go play for a higher league.
I'm better than where I'm playing and if I play another game, I lose that year of eligibility."
Can't believe that kid doesn't want to play in the Mountain West.
Oh, poor Ben Bell. He could be in the Mountain West, and he's turning
What's
it down.
Doing?
Unbelievable.
Those are great. That's another great question.
There are 2 Monday Night Football games tonight: Titans at Dolphins, Seahawks at Lions. It's Tennessee, Miami, going to be terrible.
Man, the quarterbacks in those games. Is Will Levis going to throw behind him for like the 4th straight week?
Will Levis might be the best quarterback in that game.
No, Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley?
Will Levis might be the best one in that game.
No, I hope not.
It's Will Levis against Tyler Huntley. The The good news about Will Levis, despite being bad and Tennessee being bad, very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's fun to watch because he can throw a pick six at any time, which he has.
Yes.
He comes up with a different creative way for a turnover every week.
So that might actually be a good terrible game. Might be glued to that one, like, oh, can't take my eyes off of this disaster. So that could be good. Seattle and Detroit. Obviously, Detroit, NFC title game, they're set to be good. Seattle's 3-0.
Yeah, with the new coach.
If they go and beat, they go and beat Detroit, they win in Detroit and get to 4-0? We talking about Seattle?
Starting to believe in them.
As a playoff team, yeah. Are we talking about Seattle as
NFC West contenders?
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Niners are 2-2?
Yeah.
Seattle would be two games ahead. Yeah. I know it's early. They still got to play, too, but...
They did lose to the Rams when the Rams had nobody.
Right. They lost to the corpse of the Rams. I don't even think Stafford's healthy. Stafford's not healthy. He's out there throwing to God knows who.
Stafford hasn't been healthy in 20 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's fair. He has not. He's just always hurt.
Yeah, that's a pretty detailed question.
Ole Miss lost to Kentucky.
Your team.
What a disaster
not good.
That is. Unbelievable. First off, Kentucky lost to South Carolina 31-6 earlier this year. They then went and lost to Georgia by one point. And have now beaten Ole Miss at Ole Miss. So
was that game on the road?
It was in Oxford.
Oh,
yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it was not good. It's the first time Kentucky has won in Oxford since like the 70s.
Yeah, that's even worse. I thought that game was in Kentucky.
No, it was in Oxford. So Kentucky's defense appears to be legitimately good. Right, they held that Georgia team that put up 30-plus against Alabama to 13. And Ole Miss has had one of the best offenses in the country until that game. Here's the good news for Ole Miss. Their schedule's not very hard. They do have to go to LSU, and they do host Georgia.
Don't they host Georgia?
But that's kind of it. Their next hardest game the rest of the way is Oklahoma, who's not good at all. So I know they just lost to Kentucky, so it's stupid to assume they'll just win all the games they're favorites in, but... Worst case scenario, they're probably 9-3, which is not going to be enough. Well, we'll see. It's probably not enough to get into the playoff, but there's a really good chance Ole Miss is 10-2. And I think all
from 10 SEC perspective, yes.
I think all 10-2 SEC teams are going to get into the college football playoff. Right. So they're still in okay shape. And by the way, they only fell to 11-12 in the coaches poll in the AP poll. So they didn't even fall out of the realm of the
not
playoff.
Being in.
Right. They would be out technically based on that, but they're not even completely out of the picture entirely. So they still have a shot, but that's a pretty brutal loss.
You sense any give up in the locker room?
Hell no.
Need one more here, Ed.
Phil.
Because Lights FC beat Phoenix Rising 2-1 on Saturday. Lights scored in the 96th minute to tie it, and then in the 99th minute to win it. By the way, they scored the game tying goal on a free kick like 10 to 15 yards outside the box. And then the game winning goal was a cross into the box that nobody touched. The goalie was expecting somebody to try to head it or something.
Right, to get it out.
And it just bounced past everybody into the net for a goal. So they won the game, and both of their goals came from shots outside the box, one that technically wasn't even a shot. So they are very close to clinching a playoff spot. They have four games left. If they get 4 points in those four games, so they draw them all or they get one win and one draw, they will clinch a playoff spot. Or they could have Tulsa, who still has five games left. Tulsa just needs to drop
4 points.
4 points. So they are very, very close. I believe
their
first
playoff spot.
I believe the earliest they can clinch is this weekend, because I think that's the next time Tulsa plays. So week from now, we could be talking about Lights FC having clinched a playoff spot. And they're still, I'd have to double check, I think they're currently in fourth in the West, which would give them a home playoff game. But they're still in play for as high as the 2 seed.
Right.
The 1 seed's pretty much out of the question, but they're still in play for the 2 seed in the West. So they not only are going to clinch their own playoff spot, they're, if they continue to put up some points here, they could be hosting a playoff game, maybe even be in the spot or position to host 2 playoff games, which is a stunning turnaround from where this organization has been in its history.
Yes.
Which is nowhere close to this, ever. All right, coming up next here on ESPN Las Vegas, we'll get back into the NFL.
First half.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas.
I want to do one thing on the Raiders first before we get to Sam Darnold being the best quarterback in the NFL. How badly do you think Kevin Stefanski messed up that final minute for the Browns?
I'm trying to think of every play. Well, the backup center who had the major hold on the touchdown and then snapping it into Sean Watson's leg before he was supposed to, that guy messed things up as well.
So the Browns are losing by four. They run a play on third down that results in a fourth and three. When that play is over, there's about a minute 15 left on the clock. Right. And Cleveland has all three timeouts. Stefanski let the clock run all the way down to 41 and called a timeout. The Browns obviously don't convert the fourth down, and the Raiders just kneel the clock out and end the game. If the Browns don't burn that timeout and they just get up and run a play, then there's and they don't get it, obviously. There's roughly a minute left, and you have three timeouts. If you get a three and out, you're getting the ball back with 40 seconds left. You don't have any timeouts left, but you're getting the ball back down four with 40 seconds left. But because he burned that timeout, they couldn't stop the clock enough to get the ball back.
Enough to get the ball back.
I thought that was brutal from Kevin Stefanski. Like, get up, run your fourth and three play, and if you don't get it, you still have the timeouts that this game is not over yet. Right. You're a three and out away from getting the ball back and having at least a shot at moving back down the field. I don't understand what they were. They let 20 seconds run off the clock, and that completely blew it. Like, horrible management of your timeouts by Kevin Stefanski. So I think he deserves quite a lot of blame for that. Again, just convert the fourth and three, and it doesn't matter at the end of the day for Cleveland. But I think he completely mismanaged that timeout situation there. Also, they won the game, but Antonio Pierce was blowing through his timeouts.
Yeah,
there.
He burned two that he shouldn't have to where if they would have scored, they were in trouble time-wise.
Yeah, they got Antonio Pierce's timeout usage got let off the hook.
By winning
them,
the game.
By them getting a stop there. Yes. Because otherwise, if, let's say, Cleveland converts the fourth and three or just scores a touchdown there, Raiders are getting the ball back after the kickoff. There's going to be 35 seconds left or something like that, and they would have had one timeout because Pierce, he called two timeouts in the second half. One was right after that hold that took back the Amari Cooper touchdown.
Right.
It was first and 19 for the Browns. And then the second was on a third and three for the Raiders' offense. He calls a timeout. Don't really know why. They didn't convert the third and three anyways. Like, kind of just wasted timeouts.
Yeah, two at least.
Right. They might have needed if the Browns
converted
there. So I think we saw two coaches poorly manage their timeouts in the second half of that game. Obviously, one of them gets to win the game at the end of the day and is not a talking point. But either one, we could point to and say, yeah, you didn't do a very good job with your timeouts there. Now, who's a bigger surprise, Ed? The 4-0 Minnesota Vikings or the 3-1 Washington Commanders?
Well, our good friend Adam Hill, before the season started, did say that by Pro Football Focus, Sam Darnold's the best quarterback in the league after four games. Like, he's in the Brady conversations for records and all his numbers. So now it stops.
So if Darnold does it again in week five,
then he is overshooting whatever he's been his entire career.
Does that mean you're a believer if he does it in week five?
Oh, yeah, because he's always been the first 4 weeks. So if he goes into week five and plays like this, I'm a believer.
So you're not a believer now?
Not yet, because his career is set only the first four games.
Well, next week he is at home against the Jets.
Okay, good defense.
So you'll be a believer if Darnold. They have to win, or Darnold just has to play well?
I think it's more his stats and playing well, more so than the winning game.
So they lose 28-27, and he has a good game.
Yeah, his stats have been, in his first four games, have been amazing throughout his career.
All right. They have beaten the Giants. Obviously, they're a bad team. But Minnesota's other three wins have been San Francisco, Houston, and Green Bay. And Green Bay with Jordan Love, too, by the way. Like, those are three quality teams that they have beaten with Sam Darnold at quarterback. That one is shocking to me. I mean, if we go back and listen to things I said, Danny could pull these and make me sound like an idiot. I was wondering, why haven't they named J.J. McCarthy the starter? What are we doing? Why are we talking about Sam Darnold? You're not going to be a playoff team. Just play McCarthy and find out what you're going to get. Obviously, McCarthy gets hurt, and that conversation
is over.
Irrelevant. But I definitely thought, this is the worst team in the NFC North. Why would you not play J.J. McCarthy and find out as soon as you can is this guy any good? Did we answer our quarterback question, or are we going to have to answer it again in the near future? And apparently this team is awesome, and Sam Darnold's the best quarterback in the league for four games and maybe five.
Misstatement on my part. They do play the Jets, but it's actually a Europe game. So it's not at home. It's considered a home game, but it's in Europe.
All right. We get Europe games next week?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That seems early. We got bye weeks next week, too.
So. Yeah.
All right. So I am going with the Vikings as the more surprising team, given the teams they've beaten and given my general expectation that they would not be very good. The Commanders are 3-1.
That's a surprise.
They've also beaten the Giants, by the way.
Right. But Giants are in both of these.
Their wins are Giants, the Bengals, who we thought was good, but maybe aren't, and then the Cardinals, who they annihilated yesterday.
Right.
Credit to the Commanders for annihilating them, but at no point were we like, oh, the Cardinals are a great team. Right. Not even a playoff team, I think, by most people's expectations. But despite me thinking the Vikings are better, is Jaden Daniels this year C.J. Stroud? Not pick number one.
He very well could be.
But the best rookie quarterback?
Are the Bears already rethinking that?
You can't do it now, can you?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's been 4 weeks.
I know. So far?
If I'm a Bears fan,
I'm thinking.
I'm a little annoyed at the moment. I'm a little like, wait a minute. But here's the thing. And I think this is important context. Anytime we talk about like draft busts or missed picks or whatever it is, when the draft was here, I don't think there was a single person that said, "Gee, you have to take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams." Yep. Like this was an obvious who's the number one pick. It's Caleb Williams.
He had been for over a year.
There are cases where teams reach on a player and they leave behind some other star that ends up, or guy that ends up becoming a star, that they did not reach on Caleb Williams. This was a clear, he's the number one guy, you're taking the number one guy. So, yes, it's going to suck for the Bears if, you know, we get 4 years down the road and Jaden Daniels is, like, in the Super Bowl and the Bears are like, well, Caleb Williams didn't work out, we're trying somebody else, but I don't think you're really going to blame them because nobody was like, yep, it's got to be Jaden Daniels. Except maybe Antonio Pierce. He probably would have taken him number one.
Except for
Antonio Pierce. But nobody was truly out there like, you can't take Caleb Williams one. You have to take Jaden Daniels one. So I think that hurts a little bit there. Right. Are the Vikings Super Bowl contenders?
In the NFC, they might be.
They might be.
In the NFC, they might be. Because I don't know who's good in the NFC.
If Detroit loses tonight, Minnesota has a 2-game lead on everybody in the NFC North. I know it's early, and you still got to play all these teams, but a 2-game lead is a 2-game lead. The other thing that'll be interesting is how long the Vikings have with J.J. McCarthy. Like, Darnold's a free agent after this year, but what if he does this the whole year? What if they're a 12-win team, and Sam Darnold is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league this year?
I mean, and they go to the playoffs and they make a run?
They're re-signing him, aren't they?
I would think so.
And then McCarthy just is sitting
behind him again.
They're going to a Jordan Love scenario where they're like, all right, you're not playing for 4 years. A Michael Penix scenario? See you later. All right, coming up next year on ESPN Las Vegas, we'll get into some Major League Baseball with Ryan Dempster.
The 36th for Ketel Marte. And the Diamondbacks have busted this thing wide open with a 6-run fourth.
Now, back to the press box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hopefully, we're going to get Ryan Dempster, who pitched in the majors for 16 years and is on MLB Network's Intentional Talk here in a minute. Ed, I've got to ask you this. You are the pessimistic Dodger fan. Dodgers finished the regular season with the best record in all of baseball.
Which is amazing given their pitching.
Why can they not win the World Series?
I just don't think they have the depth of pitching.
But over 162 games.
I know.
They won more than anybody else with all these pitching problems.
With all the pitching problems. I think when you get into the playoffs and you're down to, what do you think, three?
Well, you need at least three. There's going to be you get into a 7-game series. There's a fourth game where you need a fourth starter, but often teams can go bullpen
games. We're counting on a guy named Knack.
Believe in Landon Knack. Why not? Okay. The offense is good enough that the Dodgers shouldn't need to like hold teams to two runs to win games, right? If the Dodgers offense is only scoring two runs, you're not winning anyways. Do you not have confidence that you have enough guys that can go through the order one time and then turn it over to a bullpen that's been good this season? Like, the Dodgers bullpen has been good over the course of the entire season. And in the playoffs, with the off days, you can throw guys a lot. You can go to Kopech 4 or 5 times in a 7-game series. Do you not think that, hey, the offense puts up 6-7 runs most nights, we got Knack can get through 2 1/3, and then we turn it over the bullpen and we just not have to give up five or more
runs? You have to
more
do that
runs.
Every game?
Well, no, you can lose.
Well, yes. Exactly.
No, I'm saying like you can lose some games. You best of 5. So you can lose twice, best of 7. You can lose. So obviously you're going to lose some because Knack goes 2/3 of an inning and gives up 8 runs.
Exactly.
All right, you lost that game. But I feel like there's a good enough offense and a good enough bullpen that there's still a pretty good path.
I mean, if you're talking getting through the lineup one time, maybe? If that's what you're saying? I mean, if that's what you're saying, get through it one time and then turn it over?
Obviously, if your starter hasn't given up a base runner through 3 innings, it's just...
Yeah, you stay with him. Yeah,
he goes out there. But yeah, I think in general, the idea could be pretty easily, well, let's get through the lineup one time with our starter when it's Landon Knack or whatever, and then see where we are from there. And if we need to pull him in the second or in the third because he's given up a run or two and they're hitting pretty well against him the first time through, then all right, here comes the bullpen. And hey, Shohei, hey, Mookie, hey, Freddie Freeman, we need to score 7 runs tonight.
Right.
I don't think that's the worst path to the
World You think
Series.
It's plausible?
Yeah. I think the biggest problem they'd run into is Philadelphia and I think San Diego are pretty complete teams, maybe not overall better, but those are teams that have good offenses, good starting pitching,
good bullpens.
And while the Dodgers' offense is probably better, and their bullpen is probably better than Philly's bullpen, and...
No, not as good as San Diego's
not
bullpen.
Not as good as San Diego's
bullpen. Not as good as San Diego's
but
bullpen.
But it's not a weakness for the Dodgers. You're not going to look at this bullpen and say, oh, they can't get anybody out.
Right.
This
right.
is the issue for them.
Right.
I think there's enough of a path there for the Dodgers to get this done.
I mean, I hope you're right. I like your positivity.
The offense is too good. Do you really think we're going to get into some Padres or Philly series for the Dodgers and it's just Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman
4-1.
Can't put up runs? I don't. Like, I think they're going to score runs.
I hope they do. I mean, they should. They should with that offense. Yeah.
Max Muncy.
Teoscar Hernandez.
Max Muncy going 1-for-8 with Will a home Smith? Run and 3 walks. You know he's doing that.
Well, you know he's getting the 3
right.
walks.
Yeah.
If he's hitting the home run, but he's getting
He's going to hit it. No, 1-for-8.
He's getting 3 or 4 walks no matter what.
It's 1-for-8, 3 walks, the hits a home run, and he struck out 5 times.
Okay.
That's the Max Muncy game.
Yes.
And, you know, as long as there's some runners on base when he hits
the
home run.
As long as the home run means something.
Yeah, it's a good outing for him. That's a good 4 out of 11 on base percentage. That's good. With a home run, it's a good player. Strikeout's not great there. My concern, the Astros are going to play the Tigers in the wild card round. I have 2 concerns for what should be an easy series win. You really shouldn't say any 3-game series in baseball is easy, but... The 2 concerns for me, Tarek Skubal's pitching game 1 for Detroit. He's going to win the American League Cy Young. He was the best starter in baseball. It's not hard to envision him against any offense kind of single-handedly winning the game.
Right.
7 shutout innings, the Tigers score 2 runs, and they win the game 2-1 or 2-0 like that. That's the concern in a 3-game series, that if you drop game 1 to the other team having the AL Cy Young, you're in some trouble because you got to win 2 games in a row. The other concern is that Yordan Alvarez is not healthy. He hurt his knee last week, sprained it. The update yesterday was that he's hitting.
Hasn't been back since.
Hasn't played since. He didn't even travel with the team to Cleveland for their final series. The update is that he is hitting. So he is hitting off, I think it was live pitchers. But is there enough for him to actually hit and then, he's got to run the bases? He's just going to DH. He's not going to play in the field.
Right.
Is his knee healthy enough to hit? Because if not, the Astros lineup gets significantly worse. I mean, he's their best hitter. But that's sort of the issue. Those are the two concerns I have with what otherwise should be the Astros winning this series, because the Tigers don't have a second starting pitcher.
Who do we line up in the wild card round?
For the Dodgers?
No.
Oh.
For the American League?
Oh, it's Orioles. Orioles, and Astros,
Orioles,
Tigers.
And Astros Tigers.
We don't know the NL yet. The Brewers and Padres are waiting to find out who they play, because it could be, I think the Diamondbacks can only get the six, but the Braves and Mets, either one could be the five, and Diamondbacks or Mets.
Now, because
the
Padres are a wild card and they play another wild card, they'd get the one seed?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, the Padres are in the 4-5 matchup. So, yes, if the Padres win, they go to LA in the NLDS.
For a correct. Seven.
No, that's a five.
That's still five?
Yeah, that's a five-game series. You've been doing this for years. You don't know what the playoff format is.
I know, because it's all because they always get the bye. I always forget
because
they lose the
five-game series.
Yeah. Last year swept.
Yeah, so it'd be the Brewers versus whoever their matchup is would go to Philly. Padres versus whoever their matchup is would go
to LA.
Right. And on the AL side, Astros Tigers winner goes to Cleveland, and Baltimore Kansas City goes to New York. Yeah, because the Yankees got the one seed overall. So I would phrase it to you this way about the Astros: I am more worried they lose to Detroit than second round against Cleveland.
Okay,
I think if they get past Detroit, they're going to beat the Cleveland Guardians in a five game series. But a three game series where Tarek Skubal might win game one by himself is
scary,
right? And by the time they play Cleveland, hopefully, Jordan Alvarez is healthy.
Right.
So I think they beat Cleveland. If they beat the Tigers, they're going to the World Series.
Oh, okay.
Because I also think they're beating the Yankees.
Okay.
If they get there. Somehow the Tigers are the one team I'm most worried about. Only because of the three-game series. If it was seven against the Tigers, easy. Lose to Scooble.
What about Orioles?
They don't have... They don't have enough pitching.
Could upset the Yankees.
There you go. Whatever. They're going to light up Corbin Burns and be fine. If they play the Orioles. So, yeah. It's Tarek Skubal in a three-game series that just has me slightly worried because he wins game one and then...
And winning two is not easy.
Right, yeah. So, that's brutal. But we'll see. Dodgers, they'll be fine.
I mean,
I need to look at this schedule. Are you going to be here when they get eliminated by the Padres?
Where are the Raiders?
Because I am still mad that, what was it, 2 years ago when they got knocked out by the Padres, you were gone.
I was on a trip the next day with the Raiders, I think.
Unbelievable. You've spent every year we've done the show petrified that the Padres are going to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, and it finally happened, and Ed wasn't here for it. Brutal.
That'll be, what, 2 weeks?
That series would start over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, I believe.
Okay,
so,
well, this coming up weekend, they're at Denver, and then the following weekend, they're home for the Steelers.
Yeah. So you might be gone.
And then the next weekend, they're in L.A.
That's too far.
No, next weekend...
This coming up one, they're on the road in Denver.
Okay, and then the next weekend, they're home. Oh,
next
weekend,
home.
They're
home. I'd be home.
Let's go, Padres.
I'd be home.
Let's make it happen, Padres. Yes.
And then depending on how long it takes for that series to go, the following weekend, the Raiders are in LA.
I'm not too worried about it. If they get knocked out by the Phillies, I mean, funny, but not as funny because it's not the Padres.
Right.
I just wanted to be here when it's the Padres that do it. So if you, I swear to God, if you're like, I got a dentist appointment,
All dentist appointments after 10:30.
After 10:30.
Canceled. Not allowed to happen. No dentist appointments or anything like that if they lose to the Padres. You're going to have some weird, well, if the Dodgers win, I'll be here, but otherwise I got an emergency root canal coming up. All right, we got tickets to give away. If you want to go see Iron Maiden, now's your chance. Two tickets Saturday, October 5th at Michelob Ultra Arena. Tickets are available at AXS.com, but we've got a pair for you to win right now. 702-364-1100. That is the phone number. We've got two tickets to go see Iron Maiden. Call in now at 702-364-1100. It's two tickets to see Iron Maiden. Caller number six.
Sydney Colson takes the ball away on the inbounds pass. Asia rolling down the lane, gets the pass from Sid. Count it. Steal and bucket. Nice start for the quarter.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Ed Graney and at @Bischoff_Tyler.
The Aces lost game one to the New York Liberty 87-77. The Liberty led by as many as 18. The Aces never led in the game.
It's 3-3, right? And then that was it?
Yes. Kelsey Plum hit a three fairly early to tie it. Yeah. By the way, side note, still annoyed at ESPN for making these always start on Sunday. You know what I did? Recorded this game and watched it last night.
After football.
Fortunately, the Sunday night football game was a blowout.
Right.
But yeah, still annoyed at this. But yeah, that's what I had to do to watch damn game one of the WNBA playoffs. Come on. But the Liberty torched the Aces by getting into the paint. Brianna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu had no problem getting to the rim. Ionescu was 6 of 9 in the paint, and all 9 of those shots were at the rim. Brianna Stewart was 6 of 6 at the rim, and she was 9 of 12 overall in the paint. The Aces' biggest problem for the entire season was their perimeter defense getting exposed. They struggled throughout the year defending off the dribble or off ball screens, whatever it was. Teams could drive into the paint against the Aces. When they were playing at their best, they would either cut those off or Asia Wilson would help clean up the mess inside. But last night exposed what was the problem all season long. And the idea of, hey, Chelsea Gray's back, they'll flip a switch, the defense will be better, that did not happen in game one. They got beat up by Ionescu and Brianna Stewart getting into the paint. And I don't know if that changes enough for them to win the series.
Well, that was my point. If it was the issue all year, you're going to flip a switch on something like that? Probably
not. Do it before game one if you're going to flip the switch. Yeah. The interesting part, Alicia Clark guarded Brianna Stewart for big chunks of this game. Asia Wilson guarded Jonquel Jones for big chunks of this game. They did this last year, too, when they played the New York Liberty, where Clark would have some really good defensive games against Brianna Stewart. But last night, Stewart dominated. Clark committed 4 fouls in that game. It led to 7 New York points. 5 free throw attempts. There was an and one in there that also went in. That matchup worked pretty well for the Aces last year. It did not work well
last night.
And I wonder if you're Becky Hammon, do you stick with it because you won a WNBA title last year and this is something that you did when you won that title, or is a one-game loss enough to say, scrap that, we've got to try something else in, you know, bigger. Alicia Clark's still going to play. She's still going to guard Brianna Stewart some during the game. But do you limit that matchup as much as you can?
Right.
I'll be curious to see what she does.
And who would you have if she didn't?
So that's the interesting part. Can you put Asia Wilson on her? Because Brianna Stewart's playing the power forward position. And generally speaking, Asia Wilson is the Aces' power forward. Now, when Clark's on the floor, they play Tiffany Hayes too. Wilson becomes the de facto center. But can you put Asia Wilson on her for large portions of the game? Can you ask Asia Wilson to guard out to the perimeter against their best player? And, hey, we might need you to score 31 points on the other end of the floor. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask of one player to guard the best player on the other team.
And go score 30.
Right. Because last night, or yesterday, Brianna Stewart's the best player in that game. 34 points on 12 of 19 shooting, got to the free throw line 9 times. Like, Asia Wilson had a fine game, 21 points, shot 9 of 16. But Brianna Stewart was the best player in that game. And if Stewart's going to be better than Asia Wilson, to be honest, if Stewart's as good as Asia Wilson, I don't think they can win this series.
Well, you had them winning in 4 or losing in 4?
I have the Liberty winning the series in 4. I don't remember what I said.
Right,
but I have the Liberty winning the series.
Right.
They've been better all season. Aces need to flip a switch and play better defense. I just don't buy into it that much. I think the Liberty are a better team overall. So if Brianna Stewart's better than Asia Wilson, I don't think they have a chance to win the series. Because where else do the Aces have an advantage if it's not Asia Wilson being the best player in the series? It's not Chelsea Gray. It's not Jackie Young. Maybe Kelsey Plum, who's had, by the way, 2 really good games in a row.
Right.
They don't have an advantage anywhere else if it's not Asia Wilson being the best player on the floor.
Maybe Brianna Stewart's trying to get back at Becky Hammon for the slightly critical comments after last year's finals.
Is all it was is what Becky Hammon said during the parade?
I think that's what it was, right?
Yeah, because Becky Hammon said something about Brianna Stewart not shooting very well in the finals because Stewart didn't have a good WNBA finals,
right?
I don't know. I mean, I get it. Athletes are always looking for chips on the shoulder.
Motivation. Yeah, they're always looking for stuff.
Potentially drunk while on stage after winning a championship at a parade. I feel like you let that one go. You're like, all right, whatever. Yeah, you won the title. Yeah, I sucked. Okay, whatever. But
who knows?
Yeah, maybe it helped her.
Maybe it helped her.
I guess. But yeah, Brianna Stewart was excellent last night. Also, Chelsea Gray returned to being invisible. Didn't do much of anything. She had 4 points on 2-of-7 shooting. By the way, talking about Ionescu and Stewart getting into the paint, Chelsea Gray did not attempt a single layup in that game. That's not who she is. She doesn't create that. She'll create her mid-range jumper a couple of times a game. She hit 2 of them yesterday, and those were only 4 points. I don't think they can win with this version of
Chelsea Gray.
I just don't think they can.
You can't forfeit one of the supposedly best players on your team and expect to beat Liberty.
Right. Like that's the biggest problem with playing Liberty is they have the talent to match up, that top-end talent to match up with your top-end talent.
Right.
And the part of the key for the Aces was they had the four. They had Plum, Young, Gray, and Wilson.
And Wilson.
The Liberty, to discount Courtney Vandersloot, the Liberty had three. Jonquel Jones, Sabrina Ionescu, and Breanna Stewart.
Breanna Stewart.
Well, Chelsea Gray's not any good. So now it's three against three. Jackie Young hasn't been good since the All-Star break. And Breanna Stewart outplayed Asia Wilson last night. I don't know how the Aces win if that happens. Right. Like, they have to have Asia Wilson play better. And even if Asia Wilson outplays Breanna Stewart, the Liberty might still win the game if Chelsea Gray is not effective.
If she's playing this way.
Right. So I think they need Asia Wilson to be the best player and Chelsea Gray to at least give them half of what we're used to Chelsea Gray being. And I don't know that we're getting that.
Well, I think we both picked Liberty.
You picked. Don't let him
did
do that, Danny. Do not let him do that.
I did.
Do not let him do that, Danny.
Because Tyler said in Liberty in four, I said Liberty 5, you said Aces 5.
All right, I'm sticking with it. I'm
Thank
sticking
you,
with
Danny.
It.
Danny. Do not let him do that ever.
No,
Danny,
I remember that one.
Danny, close your notebook up.
Well, I don't even need my notebook for that one because you were the only one on the show that said Aces.
I'm sticking with it. I say they three-peat.
I got one more thing for the Aces.
Yeah.
I mean, if this series goes five, I think whoever wins this series is going to end up losing the finals.
No, this is the finals right here.
I don't think they award a trophy after this series.
It's the finals, Danny. Calm down. One complaint for you. Before the game, Asia Wilson's teammates all showed up wearing an Asia Wilson jersey.
For the Defensive Player of the Year.
Because they're mad that Nafisa Collier won Defensive Player of the Year. Asia Wilson.
Calm down.
Here's I got no problem with supporting your teammates, right? Here's my complaint.
We've heard it. We know.
The reason Asia Wilson didn't win Defensive Player of the Year is because they finished fifth in defensive rating because all of her teammates sucked at defense. Yeah. You're the reason she didn't win.